Familiar story here. I don't think I've ever preached this here, but this is what's on my heart this morning. And I've always tried to remind him. Luke chapter 15, and we'll start at verse 17, if you wouldn't mind to stand in reverence to the Word of God. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, we stand not in reverence to me. I'm nothing, I'm just a little nobody, but we stand in reverence to the Word, this book. Oh, what it means to us. And appreciate it this morning. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. You may be seated this morning. I ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you so much for the time of prayer. Thank you for the time of singing. Thank you, Lord, that you put it upon these people's hearts to come to the house of God this morning. Lord, they're seeking encouragement. They're seeking light this morning, bread. They need something to strengthen them as they journey along life's travels. And I ask, God, that you'd give that this morning. I ask, Lord, that you'd open me up and fill me full of your words and let me convey them to the people this morning. Let me not get in the way. Let them not hear my opinions or anything that I've got to say, but they'd hear from you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done here at Second Baptist, and I look forward to what you're going to do, Lord. I stand amazed at the very presence of the Nazarene. I love you, Lord. You know I do. We ask all this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word of God. Thank you for praying with me and praying for me this morning. As you know, in this book, this chapter of Luke, the book of Luke, chapter number 15 here, the Lord is criticized for sitting and dining with publicans and sinners. He didn't go into the synagogues to seek people. He didn't go into the temple, but he went into the slums. He went down the lowest places, and he allowed sinners and publicans to sit to him. And that was really the only thing they could ever put to his account. And he gave three parables in chapter 15 to say why he was among the sinners and why he's among the publicans. He gave the parable of the lost sheep, if you know that. And then he gave the parable of the lost silver. And then he gave this parable of the lost son. We call this the prodigal son. Amen. My mama used to call me the prodigal son for years. And I've called my son the prodigal son for years. And I know a lot about being away from the Lord. And this story is about backsliding, because the son was a son when he left. He was a son in the far country. And he was a son when he come back. But you can also say this could be a story of being lost and being undone out in the world. I don't think anything's wrong here against the scripture if you want to look at it that way. But it is a story about being away from the Lord, whether you're lost or whether you're backslidden. It's being out of his presence. And the story goes that this boy got up to an age where he thought he knew better than daddy. Got up to that age where he decided that he wanted to go out and sow his wild oats, you'd say. And so I want to look at all, first of all, his riotous living. His riotous living. He looked at everything the father had. He looked at the farm. He looked at all the land. He looked at how he's being treated, and it wasn't good enough. He said, this ain't good enough for me. There's got to be something better out there. I was thinking about these youngins here. I call them youngins, but I am probably 30 years older than them, and they're youngins to me. And I tell you, you're in church this morning, and I believe you're doing well, and I really think highly of you. And I'll tell you, get your heart upon this, but there may come a day where the billboards of this outside world will start flashing its lights, and you'll say, oh, I think that out there would be a lot better than it is in here. They don't have any rules out there. I don't have to go to church and look how much fun they're having out there. I think I'll leave the house of God. I think I'll leave His presence. I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm tired of all these rules and regulations. I think I'll go out there and really enjoy the high life. And I'm going to tell you what, from experience, there ain't nothing out there but regret and sorrow, hurt and shame. How many times I've had to put my head down, and how many times I've regretted something. I'm going to tell you, young people, I'm telling you, there's nothing better than to have a good testimony and a clean walk when you come into the house of God. You don't want those regrets. You don't want those sorrows. I've got scars on me that you cannot see, but they run deep and wide, and I regret every one of them. I'm telling you, don't leave the Father's house. Amen. Don't leave the Father's house. Amen. But then sometimes them lights and things will get big out there. He looked around and he said, I want something better. He goes up to that far country and he spent it all. Verse 30 of this chapter actually said that he spent it with being harlots. It talks about the depravity that he actually went to. But it seems like that he spent all his money and got rid of everything. And it says, the Bible says that he put himself together with a man up there. Put himself, he came together with someone up there. I'm going to tell you, that's the top of the devil. I'm going to tell you, you think you're going to get better by getting more into the world. And those pains and hurts that you have. Oh, if I could just go a little bit further in the world. If I can just go further in the world. I had one of my best friends named Drew Plemons. And he got so drunk up in college and so messed up on drugs that he fell in a lake. He fell in a lake up there. And when they got him and recovered him, his fingers and nails was all broken off. And his fingers was broken. And he was trying to dig out of that lake going down. Trying to get out of the lake. He's so messed up and he drowned when he was 22 years old. And I remember that. But that's what happens. Is we join ourselves up with this world. And we join ourselves up with the devil. And we always think, if I can just go a little further down, I'll get out of this mess. If I can just have another hit. If I can just have another drug. If I can just get high one more time. If I can just get one more thing, it'll ease this pain. It'll ease this sorrow. But you don't understand that it's getting its grabs into you. It's getting its tentacles upon you. It's getting its webs around you. And you think that you're trying to get out, but you're going down, 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 down. Amen. I'm telling you, we've had people sitting in this church on drugs. We've had people sitting right in here that's absolutely addicted. I don't get on to them because I know the battles that they're facing. You know what? I'll tell you myself. You ask my son this. I don't like being addicted to anything. I have a problem with that. Now, I like his. And if you don't like his, don't drink it. Amen. But I like them. But I like those sugar-free monsters. Amen. You drink one of those and he'll help you run plywood up a roof. You know, I like it. But I don't want one all the time, because if I feel like they're getting addicted to me, I'll go a week or two without drinking one, because I just don't want anything to have its finger pulling on me. If it's a Twinkie, I'm not going to eat it. Amen. If it's anything, I'll say, no, I can do that. I used to do two or three packs of chewing gum a day. I ain't chewed chewing gum in months, because I don't want anything to think it's got its hand on me and can pull on me. I'm telling you, you think, oh, that addiction don't have me. I'm telling you, start those things. You quit them soda pops, and you quit them cigarettes and that dip of stuff, and you see what kind of hold that has upon you, and you think that you've got control, and that flesh will start begging out for that sugar and that caffeine and that marijuana and that meth and that cocaine, and your body will, and it's those things that are pulling you. And you think that you are free from that. But it's just pulling you down. And where to get this boy this ride, this living? You think that it would have helped him once he joined up with somebody in the country. You think it would have helped him to join up. He found himself feeding the swine. They wouldn't even let him feed the sheep. He was down in that mire and that mud. He was down with that putridness if you've ever dealt with hogs. I'm telling you, it's what this riotous living will take you. It's got a billboard out there that said, boy, this is the way to live. This is the party atmosphere. All that much of old fogey preaching, that's old timey. They don't know what's going on. This is the way. And you get out there and you get a little taste, and a little taste won't do it. And you get a more little taste, and that taste didn't do it. And then you get more little taste and a more little taste. And finally, you'll find yourself down in the hog pen, and you'll think, how in the world did I ever get here? Do you think if you interviewed any of them people strung out on the highways when they was 15 years old, what do you want to do for a living? I want to be a meth head. None of them said that. You know, I want to be a prostitute. No, I want to be a drug dealer. I want to be in L.A. shooting people when I'm 12 years old. Ain't none of them want to say that. They all wanted to be firemen and astronauts like the rest of us. But I'm telling you, once they got in that world, they couldn't find their ways out. I thought about this little story, and I got to be careful how I tell it because I don't want my wife to be mad at me. Amen. Because when I was in high school, I dated this little pretty girl. And she was. She's a pretty little girl. And I hadn't seen her for 25 or 30 years. I just hadn't seen her. And I didn't think nothing of her, you know. And I seen her a year or two ago. And it took me two or three times to look at her. And I hid from her. It ain't that I didn't want her to see me, but I knew that she'd be so ashamed of how she had gotten. And she couldn't control her body. And she was so drug addicted and meth. And this pretty little girl that had every opportunity in the world, had nothing against her. And she was not even the girl that I remembered. And I didn't even want to see her because I knew it. She's sitting there and trying to get money out of her pocketbook. And I thought, she's in that hog pen. And she can't find herself out. And I remember her when she was back in high school. And I can remember her. And now look at her. She's jerking all over. And she's trying to get stuff out. I don't ever remember talking to that girl saying that she wanted to be a meth head. I never remember that being mentioned. She had all these dreams of things she wanted to go do. And now it's all wasted and wasted. Because she went out to that righteous living. Amen. So we see the righteous living. That's what this world is doing to our young people. It's what this world is doing to our people. They're drawing and drawing. And you know why they're drawing? Because our churches are dead and don't have any joy about them. And that's why they're drawing out there. I like that right there, Sam. I might back up and hit that again. Amen. But that's what's wrong. Our churches have let people down. Amen. We're so worried about arguing about the color of toilet paper and the color of the carpet and what little fun thing we're going to do and what we're going to set up little blow thing out in the parking lot that we turn our back upon Christ. He's no longer accepted in our churches. And our churches don't have a draw, a love of God about them. The young people don't want to be there. And so they're all drawn out to the world and we're sitting making fun of them when it's our fault. Amen. It's our fault for out there. Amen. We need to go. Why do you think I sit back here with them youngins? Because I love them. And I messed up my life. I messed up my life. I don't know that pain for you guys. And when you know, Madeline, one day when you got that white dress on, and I'm standing on this side, and I'm saying, dearly beloved, we gather here today. And Madeline sat there. Got that right. That's why I sit back here and make jokes and say, I love you, kids. I'm so glad you're here. I want you to be here. Because nobody done it for me. And I ruined my life. And all I got now is regrets and heartaches. Amen. Don't be caught up in this world and that righteous living. It's nothing but death out there. Nothing but death. Amen. We see the righteous living of this boy, but I want you to tell you something. We see the repentance of this boy. He got down in the hog pen, the Bible says he came to himself. Amen. It almost like he was in some kind of just mind control, which he was. And he finally at one time just woke up from that. Like he'd woke up from a dream almost. I remember when the Holy Ghost woke me up from my dream. Amen. I thought that there's no hope for me. I thought that no one could ever love me. I thought my life had been wasted in riotous living. I was the prodigal son, but someone came to me in the hog pen and woke me up out of that hog pen, and I came to myself in the hog pen. If God don't wake these people up, they'll never be woke up. He came to himself. We was up there in West Virginia, War, West Virginia. Went up there 4 or 5 times. And drug usage and incest and devil worship, and it's just everywhere. And we're so worried about saving the country, the environment, we've shut all the coal mines down, and they ain't got nothing to do up there, so they just live off of government and lay around like a bunch of dogs. That's what they do. And I went up there, so we was handing out food and clothing, we was trying to help them, and I'd have a service, and I went up to this lady, and she was trying to hotwire. They turned off a power, and she's trying to hotwire a power is what she's doing. And I pulled up, and she said, "You got a screwdriver?" And I'd never seen a girl before. And we was inviting them to church. I said, "No," I said, "I'm sorry, I ain't got no tools with me." And I got to talk to her, and she's got to crying. And she had like a little house robe on, looked like she's got out of bed. She's trying to hotwire electrical. And I looked at her and I said, "Why don't you get out of here? Why don't you leave this place?" You know what she said to me? "I don't know where else to go." That's where they're at out there. I've so messed up my life. And if I walk into church, everybody's going to judge me. I'm not good enough to walk into church. They're going to think bad of me. I can't go to church. So the only people that will accept me is people that are in the hog pen. So I'm just going to go back to the hog pen. But I told that girl, I said, "Listen here." I said, "I'd thumb, I'd hike, I would get out of this place. I'd throw my bed up on my back and I'd walk out of here today. I'd work at McDonald's flipping burgers. I'd do whatever it takes." I said, "Listen here, lady, there's a better life out there. There's places where you don't have to live like this." I said, "Put your heart and life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and get out of this mess." She said, "There's just nowhere else to go." I'm telling you, that's where them people are. And that's why we preach as hard as we can. So these little girls right here, hallelujah, they can come to themselves and they can realize where they're at, and they can say, "Hey, I don't have to stay like this. There's a better place." Hallelujah. He came to himself. And you know what he done? He done something that nobody does anymore. He admitted his sins. Amen. You can't find anybody wrong anymore. Most Baptists will go up to the stop sign and say, "Go, go, go," and sit there the whole time, "Go, go," and they think they're really doing something. And you say, "Are you born again?" "Oh, I've been a good boy." You never find anybody's done anything. That's why the altars are empty. Everybody's good. And what our problem is, we're comparing ourselves to somebody beside us. We're not going to be judged how much better I am than my son. I'm a lot better than him, hallelujah. That's not a problem. I'm going to be judged according to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's my mark. You say, "I can't hit it." I can't either, hallelujah. That's why I had to fall on my knees and say, "I need his righteousness to meet that righteousness, because I don't have the ability to meet it on my own." Amen. That's our God. He came to himself and he said, "I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my Father. And I'm going to go back." It's okay to come to yourself. It's great to admit your sins, but I'm telling you, it's better to start doing the walking. Start going the other way, hallelujah. You can't just be sitting there holding a beer can and say, "I'm sorry, I'm drinking. I'm sorry, I'm drinking. I'm repenting. I'm sorry, I'm drinking. I'm sorry, I'm drinking." Hallelujah. You can't be in an affair with, you're not married, and say, "I'm sorry, do it," and then Friday night comes. "Well, I'm sorry, I done it," and then Saturday night comes. That ain't repenting. You're just saying apologizing. Repenting is washing yourself of that mess. He got up and said, "I'm tired of this hog pen. I'm not going to get in that mess anymore. I'm going out of this stuff.
I'm going to the Father's house. That's repenting, is getting rid of the stuff and heading the right direction. We just want to keep on messing up. I'm sorry. What kind of husband would I be if I got my wife down and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again. Why are you mad? I repented. I'm sorry. Well, I'd be a horrible husband. I'd need to be locked up. That's what we do to the Lord all the time. That's what we do to him. I'm sorry. Quit! Quit touching the evil thing. Turn your back upon this world. Turn to the Lord and walk that way. That is repentance. That is repentance. Walking that way. Repentance is not a requirement of salvation. It is the product of salvation. Amen. I don't have to say some special words to be born again. What words? Open sesame? No. He does a work in my heart. He induced faith in me. And then He gives me the power to turn. And then that is the sign that I've been born again. I'm walking toward Him because my flesh don't want to walk toward Him. He wants to walk toward the world. Thirdly, and I'm done. We see the righteous living. We see His repentance. But now, you hadn't shouted yet, clear your throat. We see His reception. This always makes me happy. We see the reception. We see what the Father done. He comes up, and it seems like, to me, Wayne, the Father's been looking for Him. Because He said He's seen Him afar off. He didn't have to go up and pipe it on and say, hey, Daddy, I'm home. He said, so that means that Daddy every day would get out there on that road and say, my boy's coming. By faith, I see it. My boy's coming. What are you looking for? You know what I'm looking for. My boy's coming. My boy, he didn't come today. He's going to come tomorrow. He's going to come tomorrow. My boy's coming. My boy's coming. My wife said, you're crazy. I don't care. Call me crazy. I don't care what y'all call me. Call me crazy. I'm looking out in the future. I'm looking at this church 10 years from now. Hallelujah. I'm looking way out there by faith. I see what's coming. Hallelujah. He was standing there and he's saying, my boy's coming. My boy's coming. And then all of a sudden, it looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. What is that coming down the road there? I told you. That's my boy! Amen. That's my boy. That's my boy. And then he sat there and said, well, he done wrong. I know all the things he done. Well, what did he do? He ran. He said, that's my boy. The boy didn't have to even worry about the welcome. He ran to him. He ran to him and hugged him. What a reception that he got. He ran to him. I can remember the day the Lord ran to me. He got nothing and I got everything. He got a beggar and I got a king. He got nothing in me, but he ran to me in my state of filthiness and wrapped me in his arms of love and said, welcome home, welcome home. Amen. Do you remember when he ran to you? He ran to me. Amen. You know that boy thought, oh, my dad's going to like me right. Here I am, getting back to nothing. And he ran to him. But he didn't stop right there. He ran to him, he hugged him, and he said, get me, did he say a robe? No, he didn't say a robe. He said, give me the best robe. He come back without a robe. He come back with no shoes, come back with no ring. His daddy said, get me the best robe. Because I want him to be covered. So no one can see all them sins and stuff he's got into. So now when heaven looks down at Anthony Roberts, you don't see that past. They see the robe of righteousness, all they see on me. And they say, boy, that's a child of God right there. What did he used to be? Well, I can't see it. It's all covered. I don't see anything. Well, I ain't heard nothing. Look at it. He's covered in a robe of righteousness. He reminds me of my son. That's who he reminds me of. That's my boy right there. And I got a robe of righteousness. I got a ring. I'm part of a family. He said, I'm going to cover up where them old feet used to walk in a hog pen. Now I'm going to put shoes on so you can walk because you're royalty now. You're part of this family. You're accepted. Amen. Amen. What an exception. Hallelujah. What did the Father do? He accepted. He ran.
Now, this might be a little personal. Y'all forgive me. Every once in a while, your pastor gets stinking. Gets doing things he shouldn't do. My mind will go astray. I don't study like I should. He said, oh, I said, I know, I'm ashamed of it. But you know what I do is I get up out of that mess. I wipe myself off. And I come back, my head down, busy. And my father, over being saved now for 23 years, he runs to me. Cleans me up, Donna. Restores me to my place that I need to be. That's what he does to me. Donna, would you come to the piano, please? Would you stand to your feet this morning? I didn't think I preached too long, but I preached long enough. I think it's almost 12. This prodigal son reminds me of a story, a true story that I heard back in the 1800s. Man had a farm. His boy got older, didn't want to go out and do all the chores and everything, and he cussed at his daddy. His daddy told him to get lost. His four phones before all that mess. Boy run off, running up the city. He said, I'm going to have a better life. You'll see, daddy. The city chewed him up, spit him out. He didn't know what to do. He didn't have anything. He didn't know where to go, Bisky. He took a handwritten letter and wrote his daddy. He said, daddy, I know I done you wrong. I shouldn't have cussed you. I'm so sorry. I ain't got nowhere to go, daddy. So I'm going to take a train with my last $2. I'm going to get a train. I'm going to come home. If it's okay if I stay, can you leave a light up for me? Can you just leave one light up for me? Boy sent the letter and he got on the train. On the train ride home, he kept thinking, what am I going to do if the light's not on? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? All of a sudden, he had an elderly man there on the train. He told him the story. He got close to his house. He told the elderly man, he said, I can't look. I don't know what to do with the lights. I don't have anywhere else to go. Sir, can you please look? It's the next farmhouse. The old man got up out of his chair, stuck out the window. He said, son, every light in the house is on. He said, there's an old man and old woman got lanterns waving them up down the driveway. Come home. Come home. I don't know where you're at with the Lord, but maybe you need to come home this morning. Maybe it's a come home of salvation. Maybe it's a come home because you're so backslid. Maybe it's some things you've been doing in your life that you think you got hidden. Nobody knows this. Oh, there's people know. He knows. Best thing to do is get up out of that hole pen. Run to the Father. He'll run to you. Say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me that sonship. Restore unto me what I've lost out in this world. If that be your case this morning, would you come? Would you come to the altar?